Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Daigle Bites ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Daigle Bites podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Daigle. I'm a singer that hails from the deep swamps of Louisiana. I ventured my way up to Nashville to take the risk of jumping in on the pipe dream of singing on stages other than the ones I grew up seeing. Along this journey, I wrote a song called You Say, and what came next absolutely changed my life. I found myself in tour buses, singing on stages all over the world. And every single night, I would get asked the question, what would Lauren Daigle be doing if she hadn't pursued music? Well, this season of Daigle Bites is answering just that. And I'm bringing you along with me on this adventure. I'm inviting new friends that I've just met and old friends that I've known for a long time to come and explore what it is like to pursue their passions. I know that they've inspired me, and I'm sure that they will probably do the exact same thing for you. So my absolute hope is that as you're sitting and you're listening, you then too can be inspired. You then too can ask the question, what is it that I would love to do with my life? And maybe along the way, you'll find steps to making that happen. So pull up a seat, join us in the conversation. You have a place here. This is the Daigle Bites podcast on Amazon Music. Everybody, welcome to the Daigle Bites podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Daigle, and today we have a guest that is out of this world.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Station, this is Lauren Daigle with Daigle Bites podcast. How do you hear me?
Pun very much intended. I remember a couple years ago, we received a phone call. Somebody wanted us to come tour NASA, and I was like, wow, yes, absolutely. Let's go to Houston. This is amazing. We got to see Mission Control, we got to ride on a rover, and in the process of being at NASA, I got to meet this man, he's an astronaut, by the name of Shane Kimbrough. About 2 years prior to that interaction, I prayed, I said, God, please help me make music that is beyond this world, that goes out into the universe. And I was just... I was honestly meaning, like, let it just be music that reaches beyond places I've ever been. That was kind of my vernacular as I was praying that prayer. Well, the irony is that it actually went out of this world because people would send them the record all the way up to space. I'm like, what in the world? God will take your prayer and extend it millions of miles, okay? Well, today, we're actually talking with Shane from the space station. I'm like, I can't even get my FaceTime to connect to my friend down the road, much less literally off of the planet. This is insane. Here's the thing about Shane. He was selected by NASA in 2004. He completed his first space flight in 2008 on STS-126, where he spent almost 16 days on the mission to expand the crew living quarters to accommodate a six-member crew. Shane Kimbrough is also in the military, and he is a veteran for our nation. And now he's an astronaut. He is so kind. The irony is that he spends thousands of hours outside of the Earth, yet he is so down to Earth. We're going to talk about Shane's favorite view of the Earth. And then we have something special at the very end that I honestly did not expect. He asked me a question that afforded me a beautiful opportunity that I will treasure in my heart. Probably until the day I die. I'm not gonna lie. The second we hung up the phone, I started weeping. So to get to interview astronaut Shane Kimbrough, I am so, so delighted and so honored. And I hope you enjoy this episode that is literally from outer space. Here we go.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
I'm ready for the event.
Lauren Daigle, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Lauren Daigle with Daigle Bites podcast. How do you hear me?
Hey, Lauren, I have you loud and clear.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, Shane, this is blowing my mind right now. Oh my gosh, how are you up there?
We're doing great. We're almost 5 months into our mission now. Got about a month and a half to go, and we're doing really great. A lot of great science. We've done some spacewalks and just having a great time together as a crew.
Wow. Hey, for all the listeners joining us, today we have Shane Kimbrough on the line, and he is in outer space as we speak. I'm currently watching him in his spacecraft. I am so excited to talk with you today, Shane. And you mentioned the word spacewalk. I have a question for you. Can you explain to everyone listening exactly what a spacewalk is? I think that was one of the most fascinating things I learned about when I visited NASA.
Yeah, spacewalks don't happen very often, but it's a time when we send two people outside at a time to go do work outside. So sometimes it's installing new equipment. Sometimes it's going to repair things that have broken. On this mission, we've had four spacewalks. I've got the chance to go outside three of those four. And what we did on this mission was to install some new solar arrays. So these big, massive solar arrays on the outside of the space station. Thomas Pesquet, French astronaut, and I got the chance to go outside and install two brand new ones, which are much smaller and more powerful. But it's really great knowing you're impacting, you know, the overall life of the space station.
Wow, that is fascinating. I remember learning about how time works there. So it says that you've logged 39 hours outside of the space station on these spacewalks. But what does that mean for time back here on the Earth?
Yeah, so the time is, it's very similar. We just were on a different time zone. We're on Greenwich Mean Time. So think of it as the time it is in London. That's pretty much the time we're on. So, but spacewalk time is just the normal hour time. 39 hours was what I had prior to this mission. So you add about, I don't know, 18 or 19 or 20 more based on this mission. And I'm up to, you know, in the 50s, I think, on time.
Wow.
For spacewalks.
Oh my gosh. That is so fascinating. What are you seeing right now? What's your view?
Well, right now, I'm in the Columbus module, which is the European module on the space station, and I'm facing the Japanese module. So that's kind of what I'm looking at as I'm talking to you. We're flying, you know, really fast around the Earth, about 17,500 miles an hour all the time, which is about 5 miles a second. It's another way to think of that. And we get around the Earth every 90 minutes.
What?
So it's pretty special when we get to look out the window and see that.
When you look out the window, what is your favorite view of the Earth? As you've seen probably all of it at this point, I'd imagine, what's your favorite view?
Yeah, we've been really blessed on this mission to see several auroras, and they are stunning. Everyone's different, but we've had some that were just unbelievable. We actually, you know, it appeared that we were flying right through them, and the green gases were just absolutely stunning. So that's been my favorite view. Things on planet Earth, everything is just strikingly beautiful, whether you're looking at a desert or mountains or the Bahamas. I mean, everything has their own beauty and distinct beauty, and it's really cool to see it from this perspective.
What is the wear and tear like on your body when you are up there and you're going 17,000 miles an hour? That's unbelievable to me. I think I rode a bullet train once in China, and it was about 400 miles an hour, and it was fast. I can't imagine 17,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's all relative, though. I mean, we don't feel like we're going that fast, of course. It's, you know, it's similar to like being on an airplane. But the wear and tear on your body, getting to your question, yes, space is not really great on your body. It does tear it up. It deteriorates your bones and your muscles. So we have to combat that by doing about two hours of exercise every day, about an hour of cardio and an hour of resistive exercise on a machine that's equivalent to weightlifting. So by doing that, most of us now come back after six, 7 month missions with zero bone loss or bone density loss. So that's really important. And if we didn't have that workout program, then we would, you know, our bones would be in bad shape when we came back. So we want to prevent that, obviously.
Amazing. When you were a child, did you imagine that you'd be an astronaut? Did you have the dream as a child?
Yeah, I think every kid around my generation wanted to be an astronaut, because that's when we were little kids, that's when the first men were walking on the moon. And so it was all, you know, vivid images in our memories. And everybody just wanted to do something cool like that. I was no different. I did have the good fortune that my grandparents lived just across the river from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And we spent a lot of time down there. And my grandfather would drag me out to see anything that was launching. And I'm sure I wasn't super happy about it as a toddler. But whatever, you know, he did definitely inspired me down the road to want to do something in the space program.
I remember my grandfather having an impact on me with music. He would always, every time I'd wake up in the morning, he'd have a coffee crew over at the house and he'd say, Lauren, sing for them, sing for them. And same kind of feeling like, why are you asking me to sing at 9 a.m.? But it's amazing how our family has an impact on our dreams and the things that we get to be a part of later on in life. I'm sure your grandfather is marveling at your accomplishments. I mean, it is profound. And I love that when I asked you, did you have the dream as a child, your face lit up. I mean, your smile went from ear to ear. And it's really beautiful to see the things that you've been a part of. I mean, sitting on this side, we watch with excitement and anticipation. I was seeing how you became a lieutenant and you studied it at West Point and you served in Operation Desert Storm. And I just want to thank you for those things that you've been a part of to keep us safe and free. And we're super, super appreciative.
Thank you, Lauren. It's an honor to serve our great nation. And up here, we're not just serving our nation, we're serving all of humanity. So that's even more special when you think of something that grand and that vast. So I've been a servant my whole career, thank goodness, and continue to do that. It's an honor to do it.
Yeah, I love that. So what do you think about Richard Branson going up to space and Jeff Bezos? I think he went too, right? What was that like for you guys?
Yeah, you know, it's really cool, honestly. I mean, any companies like that, the private companies now, or a lot of them are getting involved in the space business, and it's just great. We really love it, I think, in general, and I certainly do. It was exciting to see. They went up for just a handful of minutes, which, you know, that's, you got to start somewhere, and that's awesome. And now they'll build on that to create, you know, whatever their vision is down the road. And maybe one day, you know, NASA and those companies will combine and do some joint missions together.
Do you think that the layman like me will be traveling to space in the next 25 years, taking those type of flights?
I certainly hope so. I do think in the next couple of decades, it's going to become more routine. And, you know, I kind of equate it to the airline business, right? So back in the, you know, 50s and 60s, when the airlines were just taking off, it was really just the wealthy that could afford it, right? And now it's, you know, most of us can catch an airline flight and fly around the world or just fly within your own country. So I think the space business is kind of right at the beginning of that, right? A lot of wealthy people now, millionaires and billionaires, are getting a chance to go to space for a bit. But I think in the next few decades, that's going to become much more routine. And hopefully the common person will get to experience what we get to experience up here, because it is fantastic living and working in microgravity.
Wow. Do you think that we'll be able to have a sustainable presence on the moon someday?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of NASA's big goals here in the next few decades. Here in the next few years, we're going to go back to the moon. And then from there, we're going to start this sustainable presence, like you mentioned. So maybe within the next decade or 15 years or so, we're going to have a sustainable presence on the moon. That'll be pretty exciting.
Wow. I remember sitting in that rover, the car that they drive on the moon. That was wild, wild, moving in so many different directions. It was pretty profound. Can you explain to the listeners kind of what that experience is like?
Yeah, of course, I haven't, you know, been up there to do it on the moon. I would love to do that, but I think I'm going to have to let my younger colleagues take care of that mission for us. But the rover you're talking about is pretty special. It's a specially designed rover that they have at the Johnson Space Center, and it moves in all directions, like you mentioned, and you could be going forward, and all of a sudden you're going sideways and then backwards and kind of randomly. So it's pretty cool. It's a great feeling as you got to experience, and maybe that's something like that is what they'll actually use on the moon, on the surface this time.
Wow. Well, I want to jump back really quick to family. I remember meeting your wife at NASA and her getting to talk to you and, you know, the months that you guys have apart and the distance, literally the distance that you guys have apart. What is her support? What does your family support mean to you while you're up there?
Well, it's super important. And, you know, I miss everything. I miss, you know, I'm missing events. I'm missing birthdays. I'm missing anniversaries, those kind of things. And I hate missing those. But we do have incredible connections up here where I can call family and friends pretty much any time I want. We have video conferences with our family once a week. And so that really helps us stay connected. I have we have three incredible children that are young adults right now. And it's really incredible to watch them mature and grow throughout their school and universities right now. So we're super proud of them. And I just really appreciate, of course, their support, allowing me to do this incredible mission, not just for me or for our family, but for, like I mentioned before, for all of humanity. And hopefully we'll be figuring out things and discovering things up here that are going to benefit everyone back on Earth.
Wow. Do you think any of your kids are going to follow your footsteps?
We'll see. I doubt it. Seems like if it's something I want to do, they're going to do the opposite,
yeah.
Right? Now, our son, he's starting to think about it, I think. It's, I think, you know, these private companies have kind of made space cool again. So they're definitely interested. And we'll see if one of them ends up trying to do something like this down the road.
Oh, I love that so much. I know just for me going out on the road and doing things like that, I always dream, okay, if I ever have kids someday, I wonder if they're going to want to be, you know, singing, or if this life is going to be repulsive to them. Like, at what point do they join in or have some interest and go for it or kind of step away? You never know. Do you have any words of wisdom for what you're doing, in what you're doing? Do you have any words of wisdom for the people back down here on Earth that might be dreaming of going to space someday or dreaming of being an astronaut? And also any words of wisdom that you've seen that have just been a marvel that you would love to share?
You know, for young people, I think it's an incredible time to be interested in the space business because, like we talked about earlier, it's a new era of space travel with all these private companies and private citizens that are starting to fly. There's so much work to be done over the next few decades to get that sustainable presence on the moon and eventually go to Mars with humans, which is going to be incredible. So if that's something you're interested in, I'd say go for it. You got to, at least at this point, you got to be studying in the math, science, engineer, technology kind of realm to be an astronaut. Now that can change down the road, but that's the current rules. But if that's what you like, we really want you to come work for us and help us out in the space business down the road.
Amazing. I'm so grateful. This is blowing my mind. Before I jumped on the phone with you, I was screaming in this office. I was like, we are going to be talking to Shane, outer space. Like, what a marvel. Shane, thank you for your time. We are so, so grateful. And we wish you the best and a very safe landing. And y'all come to a show if you get any time.
Thanks. I hope we can do that, Lauren. Hey, if you got a few minutes, our crew would love for you to sing to us. So let us know.
Oh, yeah. You want me to sing something right now?
Sure. Go for it.
I will absolutely do that. I will tremble at no other name. My heart surrendered to no other reign. I will bow at no other throne and rest my heart at no other home. Let these hands have no other crown. Let these knees fall on no other ground. Draw these eyes from the gold that won't shine. You turn this life from water to wine. And I tremble. I tremble, Lord, in your presence, oh, I tremble, Lord, in your presence, yeah, yes, and I will always live in wonder of the fact that I awake your jealous love. Eternity will almost be enough. Eternity will almost be enough. Oh, I will always live in wonder of the fact that I awake your jealous love. Eternity will almost be enough. Eternity will almost be enough. Lord, I tremble. I tremble, oh Lord, in your presence, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The crew had to come see you. That was incredible, Lauren. Thank you.
Oh, you guys, what a thrill.
Thanks, Lauren. Have an awesome day.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Yeah!
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants from Daigle Bites Podcast. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Coming up on this season of Dago Bites, best-selling author and top podcaster, Annie Downs.
I mean, the real thing that keeps being true about God is nothing is accidental.
The one and only Kristen Griffith Vanderjagt from Netflix's Big Flower Fight.
And then it helps you recognize that your voice is unique. No one else can do what you do.
And many more friends. Season 2 of Dago Bites is available exclusively on Amazon Music. Dago Bites is an Amazon Music podcast hosted by me, Lauren Daigle, and produced by Elizabeth Evans Media Productions.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Dago Bites ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.